This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Jenna Rollins is a great actress who is revered in the world of independent cinema. She was a pioneer of independent cinema, along with her late husband, John Cassavetes, the screenwriter, actor, and director. He died in 1989. Rollins starred in several of Cassavetes' films, including A Woman Under the Influence, A Child is Waiting, Faces, Minnie and Moskowitz, and Gloria. Her new film opened nationally today. It's called Unhook the Stars, and it was directed and co-written by her son, Nick Cassavetes. Rollins plays a suburban widow and mother of two children. Her son is married, her teenage daughter is in a period of rebellion and has left home in anger. Feeling alone and useless, Rollins becomes the full-time babysitter for the boy next door, whose own mother, played by Marissa Tomei, can't afford daycare while she works. In this scene, Tomei has taken Rollins out for a drink and a game of pool at the neighborhood bar.
What's the deal with your daughter? Why does she hate you so much?
Oh, I don't think she hates me, really. We're just so different. She's right at that age I can't stand. She hates being told what to do. She does everything wrong. I don't blame her, really. I've always preferred my son. Anybody could tell that.
What are you telling me? You like your son the best? Doesn't that violate a mother code? Aren't you supposed to like all your kids the same?
Yeah. But you never do.
Jenna Rollins, welcome to Fresh Air. I want you to describe the mother that you play in Unhook the Stars.
Well, she is a Midwesterner, a woman who has been very happy in her marriage and the raising of her children. She's a woman who hasn't had any other kind of work. And then she suddenly finds herself in the position of her husband is dead and her children are grown and out on their own. And she hits that wall of you know, like thick air, that she just doesn't know whether she's coming or going, even though she's not a woman that panics easily. I think it's a feeling that men get when they retire from work. That's where she finds herself at the opening of the picture.
What did you feel you had in common with her, and what did you perhaps not relate to after raising three children yourself? But of course, you've also had a celebrated career.
I can't say that, of course, that my life is like Mildred's, because, as you say, I've always worked, I've always been an actress, and it's a very different kind of life. But I have had children, I have loved a man, I have lost a husband, and my children have, you know, moved out and grown up and gone off on me. And then I would think the most autobiographical part would be the relationship of Mildred, the character that I play with the little boy across the street, that it was Marissa Tomei's son, who I start taking care of for her while she's working and separated from her husband.
What was autobiographical about that?
The relationship between Mildred and the little boy was much as mine was with my son when he was little.
Well, one of the wonderful things about the mother Mildred in Unhook the Stars, she's the kind of mother who knows how to provide structure and protection for a child. How to, you know, read to him and just make every little thing in the world seem like there's an interesting story behind it. Finding just like a safe, structured place for a child. Were you that kind of mother who really knows how to do that? Not every mother does.
Well, I don't know. I do have to admit that I read that encyclopedia to him.
which, like the mother in the movie does.
Yes, which is some embarrassment to me now, because I got on the set and I said, Nick, this child is pretty, you know, little to be reading an encyclopedia to. And he said, are you kidding me? He said, you read me that encyclopedia all through my childhood. And, you know, I had honestly forgotten. But I plead mother madness because, you know, when you're a young mother and you have a child, you want to teach him every single thing in the world. And I guess it makes a certain sense to start from A and go to Z in the encyclopedia, but it's a pretty heavy trip, too.
Jenna Rollins is my guest, and she's starring in the new movie Unhook the Stars. Now, I'm thinking about another role that you played in which there was... you played a mother figure, not exactly a mother. I'm thinking of Gloria, your 1980 mm-hmm. movie, which Sharon Stone is remaking. I love...
That's what I hear.
Yeah, I love this movie, Gloria. You play a woman who used to be connected to the mob.
Uh-huh.
And you're asked by neighbors who know that they're about to be executed by the mob to take care of their 6-year-old son. Now, the mob is going to be after the son, too, because the parents have given the son the books that they kept on the mob business. Now, your character, Gloria, doesn't think she has any maternal feelings, and she wants to ditch the kid. But when she's standing on the street and the mob guys come to get the kid, she blows them away, and then she and the kid really start to bond. How did you play the mother figure differently in both of these roles? You know, in one, you're this, like, really tough gun-toting woman, and in the other, you're, you know, a Middle Western woman who has been a homemaker all of her life.
I think that the maternal instinct was as great a surprise to Gloria as anything ever could have been. I think it was instinctive. It just that desire to protect a child that a woman has, and probably men have too. And also, she realized they were going to kill him. She wasn't shocked or surprised by it. She knew them. She'd been there in association with them, and she just couldn't let it happen.
Gloria was, in a way, really out of character film for you. It's an action film in a way, and you're pretty handy with a gun in the film. Not your typical role. Did you enjoy that change of pace?
I loved it. It was such a fantasy. I mean, it's essentially here I am, and I'm going to take on the whole mafia and beat them. You know, which is sort of an incredible power trip.
While being very motherly at the same time.
While being very motherly at the time. But it was. I remember it was so strange carrying that gun at first. And then after a while, because I always carried it in my purse, so I could shoot through the purse if I needed to. Gloria, I'm speaking of, not me. And then afterwards, I was carrying the purse, because, you know, the prop man comes and takes it from you so there won't be an accident or anything at every occasion. And then all of a sudden, my purse would seem very light. And I thought, my, you get used to things very quickly and depend on things very quickly. It was, the whole thing was, and it was a tough picture physically because I was running around those 4-inch heels, sandals, and carrying the child over my shoulder and running through Harlem in, you know, 98 degrees heat and 1,000 humidity or something. So that it was a picture you got into shape very quickly.
A Woman Under the Influence, directed by your late husband, John Cassavetes. You played a woman married to a character played by Peter Falk. And you're having a nervous breakdown, and you just, like, unravel more and more as the movie goes on. Had you seen somebody going through that before taking on the role, somebody who you could think about while doing the movie?
Not one person. You know, I wasn't thinking of one person, but I have seen people who so loved another person that it became an obligation to the other person. It wasn't a wonderful thing, and the person who loved too much developed nothing else in her life, so that when that love was withdrawn from her, that she had nothing to fall back on. I have seen that several times.
And how did you use that in the movie?
Well, just, you think, you study your part. I mean, just the way you would think that you do. A part is like reading a detective story. You are presented with You don't write it. You don't start it in the middle. You interpret it. And very often you find things that they're doing, the character that you're doing, that puzzles you. And you wonder how and why. And so you take as much of... Because I believe that all of us have every quality. All of us. It's a matter of degree. And acting is a matter of increasing the degree or decreasing. But it's always there, and you can always find it inside of you. It's just a matter very often of just sitting for quite a long time and thinking about things. And if, when you come to something that is extremely puzzling, to figure it out and think about things that you've seen and heard and people you've known. And all you need is just a little... It can be like a little piece of rice, but once you have the feeling, then you can enlarge it and take it where you wish to.
Were you enlarging on your own insecurities when playing the role in A Woman Under the Influence? And if so, if you have to draw on your own feelings to do that, did you feel in a very vulnerable state while making the movie?
It's strange that I did feel in a very vulnerable state, but I wouldn't say that that part is very like me, which is puzzling in a way because it affected me very deeply. I walked a little closer to the line than perhaps I should have in that, because it remained with me for a long time after the movie was over. I could hardly see a woman, you know, waiting for her children at a school bus without my eyes filling up with tears, or a woman walking along talking to herself, which you see so often, so very often. And then I would think of Mabel, and I'd miss her. You know, when you play a lot of characters, even though you're finished with them at the end of the movie, they don't ever really go away. They're always in your head and in your emotions, and you wonder what happened to them, what they're doing now, and you know how things worked out. It's sort of like a novel that you never quite get out of.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Jenna Rollins, and she's starring in the new movie Unhook the Stars, which is directed by her son, Nick Cassavetes. Let's take a short break, and then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Back with Jenna Rollins. She's starring in the new movie Unhook the Stars. Could you describe a little bit about what the guidelines for improvisation were within the films that you made with John Cassavetes? How much improvisation was there? What were the parameters for that?
The first film that he made, Shadows, was entirely improvised. I wasn't in that. And so then he did develop a reputation from that as doing everything improvisationally. But actually, after that, he always had a script, and not just a thrown together script, a real script. But then, when we would have, if you'd have a problem with a scene, or John's theory was that if he got a bunch of good actors together and there was a problem, that it was the writer's problem. So then we would stop and we'd talk about it, rehearse, improvise. About it as much as we needed to. And then when we thought we had it, he'd go in and sit down and write the scene from the improvisation the way he wanted it. And that's how we did most of them. Not all of them. There were lots of improvisations all the way through to the last films that we made. But mainly they were very scripted.
And so even the parts that were improvised, by the time you did the final take, it had been scripted based on the improvisation?
Mostly. I was thinking of one that is just the opposite of that. In our last picture, Love Streams, I played a woman who loved too much, loved her husband too much, loved her children too much. I did everything too much. I carried too much luggage. And I believed that love was a stream that could never, ever stop. And this I believed in spite of the fact that my husband just couldn't stand me. And my child was just right along his side because she just drove everybody crazy with her excessiveness. It says in the script that she calls the husband home from a business meeting and the child home from school because she knows that they are not getting enough fun out of life and that they are wasting their time with this sort of thing. So they come home thinking something important is happening. And then there's just this one little sentence, really. And it said, they come home and sit down, she makes them laugh. And I said, what does that mean, John? And how does she make them laugh? He said, don't worry about it. He said, I've got something great planned. You're going to love it. And I said, well, but do you have any hints or anything? He said, no. He said, I don't want to ruin it for you. He said, just wait. And I said, this is making me hysterical. And he said, no, I'm telling you. He said, I don't want to even give it away. So we got to the day that we were going to shoot, and he says, stay in the dressing room. I don't want you to see the preparations. And I really was truly hysterical. And finally he came and said, okay, he said, now come on out. And we were shooting in the backyard of this beautiful home, and there was Seymour Cassell and Risa Bluett, who were playing my husband and child, and they're both sitting there. And they had a long picnic table, and on top of the picnic table there were about 100 of those, you know, those crazy little games that you see, you know, those clattering, chattering false teeth and eyes that pop out on springs and ketchup bottles that look like they're getting stuff all over you, all that terrible, those joke store games. And John said, there, what do you think? I said, what do you mean, what do I think? Well, what am I supposed to do here? He said, make them laugh. I said, with these, which ones? He said, all of them. He said, we've got a minute to shoot it. He said, and use every one, make them laugh, and then go jump off the diving board into the pool. So I said, well, shall we rehearse? He said, no. He said, I don't want to ruin the spontaneity of it. He said, okay, roll them. And so I just wildly started, you know, with the eyes and the ketchup and the thing. And of course, he had already told them not to laugh because in their characters, they were not amused that they'd been brought home, you know. And so now I got wilder and wilder, trying, you know, just anything to. And finally, the minute had gone by, and I went and jumped off the diving board. Then, of course, I realized why I was jumping off the diving board, because he had it planned that they weren't going to laugh. Now that kind of improvisation was quite rare, because there was no rehearsal, there was no talking, there was nothing. It was just, you just went for it. And he, you know, he was right. It was more fun to do that scene. It's when I look back on it with a lot of happiness.
Do you feel that your acting approach or the kinds of films that you're doing now have changed since the death of your husband in 1989?
Well, sure. In the first place, John wrote very great parts for me, and I'm a very lucky actress to have had so many, because an actress can go a whole lifetime. If you get one or two wonderful, really wonderful parts, you can consider yourself a lucky actress. And I had many more than that. And believe me, I'm grateful for it. And then now I look in parts for something, you know, when you first start out, everything is interesting to you because you haven't done anything. All the parts seem interesting to you. And then you've done that, and you've looked into that. And so you keep looking for new things that to explore and to think about. And I like to do modern parts rather than classic parts. I think we live in such a, you know, a fascinating time, and with all of the rules changing and everyone trying to change with them and figure out what's right and what's wrong, it's a period that I want to be involved in, and so I look for parts that I haven't done and that will reveal something to me that I haven't worked on, or I'll work in something because I especially like I did a something to talk about because I wanted to work with Bobby Duvall. I love him, and he's a wonderful actor, and I've never worked with him, and we had, you know, a couple of really funny, nice, light comedy scenes, and I don't very often play light comedy. So there are all kind of reasons that that I look for a part now.
Jenna Rollins, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Jenna Rollins recorded last November. Her new film, Unhook the Stars, opened nationally today. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.